Hello, this is Spencer DeVries, lead pastor of the Well Fort Payne. Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. It's our hope and our prayer that every time you listen to one of our services, that your life is changed by the power of the Word of God. So I encourage you today, listen with open ears and an open heart. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly and receive it with gladness.
But if you have your Bible, grab it and turn with me to the book of Ephesians chapter 5. I want to read verses 15 through 21 tonight, and that's going to be our teaching text. And I want to let the Word of God speak for itself always, but as I was preparing and praying today and just asking the Lord to give me direction, and what I have been praying as of late when I begin to prepare to preach is, God, give me something that will help the people. I don't want to just say things that sound good or make you feel good, but I want to actually say things that are going to help you. I want you to leave here tonight and Sunday mornings going, wow, that actually was beneficial. That helped. It wasn't just good information. I didn't just learn something new that I didn't know, but I learned something new, or I saw something old, but no matter if it was new or it was old, it's helpful, it's beneficial. Because it says, we use this scripture on Sunday morning, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17 says, all scripture is God-breathed and it's profitable. That means it's advantageous, it's beneficial for our life. And so if I'm speaking the Word of God to you, and hopefully I am, I'm not just talking about philosophy or not just talking about good ideas, but I'm actually speaking what God wants us to hear, the Logos and the Rhema. Yes, speaking to you the written Word of God that He has given to us, these 66 books, but also speaking what God is saying to the church, that the letter kills, but it's the Spirit, as God's Holy Spirit breathes upon what is in this book, or breathes and speaks to myself or Jeff or Pastor Lauren, who's going to be speaking next week, and I know you're going to be blessed by that. No matter who's up here, as the Spirit breathes on it, it gives something advantageous for your life, something helpful and beneficial. And so I've been praying, Lord, give me something that's going to help people. And so I want to talk to you tonight about three traits of a Spirit-filled person. It's important that as believers, we are filled with the Holy Spirit, that we're not just, yeah, I believe in Jesus and bless God, one day I'm going to go to heaven and be with Him forever. Do you realize that more than you going to heaven, first Jesus is coming back here, and how we live depending between now and then, He's coming back for a pure and for a spotless bride. And it's important that we be filled with the Spirit, because if we walk in the Spirit, we won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. And so I want to talk to you about being a Spirit-filled person, not just being a Pentecostal, not just being a charismatic, because there's a lot of people that call themselves Pentecostal and charismatic, but they're not Spirit-filled. Being a Spirit-filled person. See, the day of Pentecost is a biblical terminology, but being a Pentecostal is not. Being a charismatic is not. But being Spirit-filled is in the Bible, and we're going to talk about that tonight. So I want to read Ephesians 5, 15 through 21. It says, this is Paul speaking, obviously, to the Christians there in Ephesus, and he says, for this you know, I was in 5, I need to be in 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. One thing that you will understand, and this is not one of the traits that I felt the Lord highlight tonight, but I do want you to understand this, is being filled with the Spirit will help you to walk in wisdom. Because there's a spirit of wisdom, according to Proverbs chapter 8. And as the Holy Spirit speaks to us, you know, He's the one that we just did a series a few weeks ago on the gifts of the Spirit, words of wisdom. He'll give you wisdom to know what to say and what to do in each and every situation. So verse 16, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Verse 18, and do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to one another. This is what comes out of a Spirit-filled life. Speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Heavenly Father, I ask that as we look to your word tonight, that it would not just be what I think and what I say or what I've heard said before, but I pray that you would speak to me something tonight and through me tonight, the words that you've given me to say, things that will help the people, things that will tend to your flock, things that will strengthen, things that will ignite, things that will build up and edify and correct and put your finger tonight, Holy Spirit, on the areas of our life that need adjustment, just like a chiropractor would move and shift things around to get us into alignment. I pray that you would align us closer to who you've called us and created us to be tonight by your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So Paul warns the people, and in doing so, he's warning us because the word of God is eternal. It's full of life. The word of God was written for us, but it was not written to us, right? It was written to the Ephesians, but it was written for us. It's applicable for our life today. And Paul warns, he says, do not be drunk with wine. You know why? I love what one translation says. It says, do not be drunk with wine because that will ruin your life. That's the reason. That's the purpose. It's not because God is out to keep you from having any fun. He doesn't say don't drink wine. He says don't be drunk with wine because that's dissipation. It will ruin your life. It will lead to a bad place in life. In fact, I love what I heard one preacher say one time. He was doing a whole series on should Christians drink alcohol? Should Christians drink beer? Should they drink wine? Should they drink strong drink? And he said, you know, the studies show that 1 out of 10 people who drink alcohol struggle with alcoholism. 1 out of every 10. And you might say, well, that's not very bad odds. I'll take my chances. But, you know, I'm about to get on a plane on Monday and fly to Atlanta and then to JFK and then from JFK to Tel Aviv, Israel. And I would hate it if my pilot came on over the speaker and said, thank you for flying Delta Airlines. I wanted to let you know we have a 9 out of 10 success rate in flying our plane, but 1 out of every 10 is going to crash. Thank you for flying Delta Airlines, right? Everyone would be pushing the stewardess button, get me off of this plane. And that's the analogy that this pastor used. Is, you know, is alcohol altogether completely wrong? No, I can't tell you by scripture that it is. But 1 out of every 10 people struggle with alcoholism. People that struggle with alcoholism, they have a tendency to get violent. They have a tendency to get depressed. And it leads to many other problems and creates addiction in your life. So Paul's saying, do not be drunk with wine because it'll ruin your life. But instead, he encourages us to be filled with the Spirit of God. That's what I want to talk to you about tonight, being a Spirit-filled person. 3 traits of a Spirit-filled person. You know, some people follow Paul's instruction to not drink alcohol. Even some unsaved people don't drink intoxicating drink because they see the damage that will do. But Paul's desire here is not a lack of spirits, but the fullness of the Holy Spirit in our life. He's not trying to just get us to get away from alcohol, because like I said, there are unsaved people that never touch alcohol in all of their life. But he's saying, don't be drunk with wine because it will ruin your life. But this is really what is most needful, most beneficial. Be filled with the Spirit of God. He's saying, don't give place or precedence to a substance that has the power to ruin your life, but instead make room for the person that has the power to improve and increase your life. And that person is the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. Christianity without a proper working relationship with the Holy Spirit, listen to me, is not Christianity at all. If you have Christianity without the Holy Spirit, then you don't have Christianity. If it's just based upon, yeah, I believe in Jesus, yes, that is the entry point. But Jesus said, I'm going to the Father, and I'm going to leave you a helper. And he was talking about the Holy Spirit. He was teaching us that life now here on the earth, you see, because Jesus, he was fully God and he was fully man. That means the reason that Jesus gave us the Holy Spirit is while he was present on this earth, he was only able to be one place at one time. If he was in Capernaum, he was in Capernaum. If he was in Jerusalem, he was in Jerusalem. If he was in Bethany, he was in Bethany. But the Holy Spirit is a spirit and he can be anywhere and everywhere. He can be directing Marla's life as she's working at FTC, right? He can be with Pastor Lauren if he's in Hawaii. Hawaii, which he just was. He's going to be with me when I go to Israel. The Holy Spirit can be everywhere. And so we have to have a proper working, functioning relationship with the Holy Spirit. He's the third person of God, and he should be treated as such. He's not a good luck charm. He's not just something that we lean upon to get gifts from or to speak in tongues. He is the third person of God. He should be revered, respected, worshiped, honored. He's as much a part of God as Jesus and the Father are. The Holy Spirit is a gift that we get to have relationship with. And the word that Paul uses to describe the measure of the Spirit in our life is filled. Not a portion, not a measure of the Spirit. John the Baptist said he gives his Spirit without measure, but be ye filled with the Holy Spirit. That word filled means to fill to capacity, to make full. I love this. The literal definition in the Greek means to cram. Have you ever tried to cram something into a suitcase because you were not going to pack more than one suitcase, and you are cramming everything that you could into that suitcase, and you are filling it to the most of its capacity? That's what our life should be like with the Holy Spirit. Is there any empty place that I can have more relationship with him? Is there anywhere else that I can give him greater precedence and greater position and more thought and more effect and more intention in my life? When we give the Holy Spirit the proper place in our life, here's what he does. He fills the voids. Another definition of that word means to satisfy to the fullest extent. I believe that many Christians live unsatisfied lives because of a lack of a filling of the Holy Spirit. Yeah, we know we're going to heaven one day, but if you want to be satisfied, you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Just like when you get filled with a good meal, you're like, ah, I'm satisfied. He will fill the parts of your life that are empty and that are broken and that have hurt and have the inkling or the leaning towards temptation or towards a vice. He fills those voids. He makes it full, and he replaces the emptiness that you fill with fulfillment. He produces fruit, right? Galatians chapter 5 talks about, but the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and patience, right? And he produces fruit that will prove beneficial both for your life and for the lives of those that are around you. Now, one answer that we, before we talk about the three traits that God's given me, I feel like tonight for us of a Spirit-filled person, I want to talk about how are we filled with the Spirit. That's very important because maybe you're here tonight and you go, I've never been filled with the Spirit. Don't worry, it's in the Bible. And you believe in being saved, right? You believe that if you confess with your mouth and you believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord, that he will save you from your sin and from the wrath to come. Guess what? Being filled with the Spirit is just as biblical as being saved. It didn't stop. It didn't go out with the apostles. It's still a part of functioning Christianity today, and it's the only way to have proper connection to Jesus and to the Father is through relationship and being filled with the Holy Spirit. Being a Spirit-filled person, it changes you because you cannot come into relationship and participation with the Holy Spirit, who is a person of God, which means that he's holy, righteous, and powerful. You can't come in contact with a holy, righteous, and powerful God and remain the same. It's impossible. It's like staring at the sun will blind you. It's impossible to come in contact with God and not be changed in some shape, form, or fashion. So how do we get filled? It's very, very simple. Two steps. Number one, empty yourself. Just like if I was going to fill a bottle, I would have to empty it of its previous contents in order to fill it with new contents. If it had water and I wanted to fill it with coffee, I would have to empty the water in order to fill it with coffee. In order to be filled with the Spirit, we must empty ourselves of us. Empty ourselves of the world. Empty ourselves of fear. And you say, I can't do it. That's the thing. As soon as you give it over to him, he will fill that place that was empty, that you made empty. Say, God, I just do it this way. I sit down before the Lord and I say, Lord, I empty myself of me. I empty myself of my desires. I empty myself of any sin. I empty myself of any pride. I empty myself of anything that would elevate itself above you. I empty myself and then just simply ask him, fill me. That's step two. Number one, empty yourself. Number two, just ask. Where do I get this in Scripture? Jesus says this. How many of you, being fathers, if your son asks for you for bread, would give him a stone? Or if he asked for fish, would give him a serpent? How much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to everyone who asks?" Just ask him. "God, I'm empty of me, and I ask you that you would fill me with yourself." Now, here's what happens. Three traits. I want to point this out. These are not personality traits, okay? God gave you your personality. He gave you your DNA at birth. He loves you how he created you. I'm not saying that the Holy Spirit won't change your personality if your personality stinks, okay? He will. But what I'm saying is you get to keep your authenticity. You get to keep your originality. You get to keep who you are. We don't all become clones and the same, and we all talk the same and dress the same and look the same. No. We get to keep our personality. We get to keep our original way of how he created us. But there are things that will take place in our life. And the first one is boldness. The first trait of being a spirit-filled person is boldness. When you are filled with the Spirit, you are a person that is bold. We talked about it Sunday morning in 1 Chronicles chapter 12. The men that had come to David who were Gadites, and it said that their faces were as bold as a lion. I read it this morning in Proverbs chapter 28, verse 1. "The wicked man flees when no one pursues, but the righteous are as bold as a lion." When you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you, there is a boldness to say and do what you could not do without the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 31, after Peter and John had been preaching and they'd healed the man at the gate beautiful in Acts chapter 3, they'd been taken before the Sanhedrin, they'd been beaten, they'd been warned to not preach about Jesus, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. Even though Peter and John were unlearned, they were able to speak with boldness and with clarity and with authority the matters of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so they warned them, rebuked them sharply, they sent them out, and they came to the other believers, and they began to testify of what had taken place, and then they prayed together. And we have this prayer in Acts chapter 4, and when it gets to verse 31, it says, "After they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit." Remember I told you that being filled with the Holy Spirit is biblical? It took place post-Pentecost. It wasn't just a one-time deal that took place on the day of Pentecost in the upper room, but this is days later, and they're gathered together praying, and they were all, and Peter and John are present, who both were present at Pentecost, and they were all filled again. Some people will tell you that being filled with the Holy Spirit a second time is not biblical, but it happened right here two chapters after they'd originally been filled with the Holy Spirit. So they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and what happened? They spoke the word of God with boldness. So the church had been birthed on the day of Pentecost, and they were a people, the church, the apostles, they were a people who performed great exploits for God. Signs, wonders, miracles, crazy things are happening. People are getting saved by the thousands because of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. These men, these saints that we read about in the book of Acts, they weren't faint of heart. They were bold people. They needed boldness because the boldness that they needed, though, it didn't come from human fortitude. It didn't come from having a strong personality. Well, I'm just a charismatic person. No, they needed a boldness that could only come from the Holy Spirit. Listen to me. You need a boldness that can only come from the Holy Spirit. To be who God's called you to be on your job, in your home, in the community, in the church, we need a boldness that can only come from the Holy Spirit, because we will not accomplish God's intended result by living in timidity and fear. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. So we're not going to accomplish what God... I want you to understand, God has great exploits that he wants you to accomplish. It may not look exactly like it looked in the book of Acts. It's going to be personal for you, but you need boldness from the Holy Spirit to do it. Anxiety and cowardice is not God's will for anybody. He doesn't want you to live that way. Listen to Acts chapter 13, verses 6 through, I think it's 11. "Now when they had gone through the island of Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus, who was with the proconsul, Sergius Paulus, an intelligent man. This man called for Barnabas and Saul and sought to hear the word of God. Now, I want you to, we tend to read this and we superhumanize these characters in the Bible, Paul and Barnabas and Peter and all these guys. But I want you to remember, they are just mere men that had the Holy Spirit living inside of them. And think about this. They're in this place. They're in a foreign place. This is not their hometown. They don't know these people. They're with. There's this guy who's with the proconsul, who's with a very intelligent man, and he's a sorcerer, and he's a false prophet. That's a very intimidating person to be called in front of, to talk and to speak. And it says in verse 8, but Elymas, the sorcerer, for so his name is translated, withstood them, seeking to turn the proconsul away from the faith. Listen to verse 9. Then Saul, who is also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked intently at him and said, O full of all deceit and all fraud, you son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, will you not cease from perverting the straight ways of the Lord? And now indeed the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you're going to be blind, not seeing the sun for a time. And immediately a dark mist fell on him, and he went around seeking someone to lead him by the hand. Note, this was not just Saul trying to be mean to Bar-Jesus. This was not just Saul getting frustrated. It says that Paul was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he wasn't intimidated by a false prophet. He wasn't intimidated by demonic powers that tried to come against him and withstand the faith. But because he had the Holy Spirit, he had boldness to speak to this guy and to command him to turn away, and this guy became blind and began to walk away. He was not intimidated, but he had boldness through the filling of the Holy Spirit. Paul's secret was not wrapped up in Paul. It was the fact that he was filled with the Holy Spirit. You too can be filled with the Holy Spirit. The second trait of a Spirit-filled person is power. We all know this passage in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Jesus speaking right before he ascended to the Father, he said, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. That word power is the Greek word dunamis, and it means the ability to do. People that are filled with the Spirit of God have the ability to do, listen, what people that are not filled with the Spirit cannot do. It's not a matter of God loving someone more than another. It's the fact that someone emptied themselves of themselves and asked God to fill them with this Holy Spirit. And when he does, you have the ability to do what you could not do before. When you live filled with the Spirit will work through you and enable you to do what was previously impossible. So power to do. Power for what? I want to define this very clearly. The Holy Spirit will give you power to do anything and everything that he desires for you to accomplish. This is very important. Here's why. Because many times we want the power of the Holy Spirit to do what we want to accomplish. But he comes upon you and gives you power to do what he wants accomplished. That's why when one sorcerer tried to buy the gifts of the Holy Spirit, Peter turned to him and said, cursed be you with your money. Your money be damned with you. Because you thought that the gift of the Spirit could be purchased. Why? Because this guy wanted the power of the Holy Spirit to accomplish his own desires. And Peter's like, it doesn't work that way, bro. The Holy Spirit comes on us to be witnesses for Jesus. That means we are, what's the word I'm looking for? Who's someone that lives in another country representing? Ambassadors. We are ambassadors for Jesus through the Holy Spirit when he comes upon us. He gives us the ability not to do what we want, but the ability to accomplish what he wants. David said in Psalm 18:29, talking about having power, he said, by my God, I can run through a troop and I can leap over a wall. Anything becomes possible when God gets involved because God does God things, right? A lack of true fellowship with the Spirit, though, will always leave you lacking. Lacking power, lacking authority, lacking the ability to do. And you will end up wondering. You'll lay in bed at night, or you'll sit on the couch pondering, or you'll be driving down the road wondering, why am I succumbing to temptation? Why am I overwhelmed by life's hardships? Why does it seem like I don't have the answer or the ability to do what I think it is that God wants me to do? It's a lack of the filling of the Holy Spirit, which will give you the power and the ability to do what He has called you to do. I would venture to say there are many people in here that God has spoken things to you. You've heard something, you heard someone preaching, someone spoke a word over your life, spoke prophetically into you, you read something, you read someone like David or Isaiah or Moses in the Bible or Peter or John, and you're like, man, I want to do that kind of stuff, but you're wondering, why am I not accomplishing what it is that God wants me to do? It's because you're trying to do it in your own strength, not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. The Holy Spirit will give you the power to do what He wants to accomplish in your life. So many times we get frustrated because we're like, why am I not accomplishing? It's what God wants. It's because we're not making room for the Holy Spirit to fill us and give us the power to do what He wants us to do. Listen to what Micah said in Micah chapter 3, verse 8. He said, but truly I'm full of power by the Spirit of the Lord. I would encourage you to pray this scripture and get it into your heart. Truly, I am full of power by the Spirit of the Lord and of justice and might to declare to Jacob his transgression and to Israel his sin. So if you read this within context, you'll find out and realize that Micah is able to declare the hard message to God's people regarding their transgression and sin because the Spirit of the Lord was upon him. He didn't find himself lacking the needed force. Just like the boldness that Paul had, he had the boldness, he had the power to do what God had called him to do because of the Holy Spirit. Not because Micah was hateful and he wanted to tell everybody how sinful and dirty they were, but because the Spirit of God came upon him, he had the power to do what God had called him to do. One of the definitions of the word power in the Hebrew there, where Micah says, I'm full of power, is wealth. I want you to see that the Spirit of God is not lacking in any shape, form, or fashion. He will give you everything that you need to accomplish what God calls you to do. All right, here's the third trait, and I'll begin to wrap up. The third trait is people that are filled with the Spirit are joyful. Joyful. This is one of the most important ones because I think a lot of times we want boldness and we want power because we want to look at the sorcerer and say, you're going to be blind, dude. You cursed are you. And we want the power and the ability to do so that people will see us as spiritual and great and strong. But I think that one of the greatest witnesses that we can have in our community is to be joyful. Just to be joyful. When you got the Holy Spirit, man, you've got joy even when things aren't going well. Listen, I'm going to show you that in Acts chapter 13, starting in verse 49. And the word of the Lord was being spread throughout all the region. Listen to this. So in 49, it seems like everything's great. Man, God's moving. The word of God is being spread. This is wonderful. Listen to verse 50. But the Jews stirred up the devout and prominent women and the chief men of the city, raised up persecution against Paul and Barnabas, and expelled them from their region. So the word of God is spreading. Things are going well, but they experience conflict and opposition. But what does verse 51 say? But they shook the dust off their feet against them and came to Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. Here's what's so cool about this. Even though things weren't going according to plan, the Jews are stirring up people. Everything, they're against them. They're persecuting them. They kicked them out of the city. You know what they did? They took the dust off the bottom of their feet and they wiped it. That's what Jesus told the disciples to do. He said, if they do not, you go everywhere and you preach the gospel. But if there's anywhere that they do not welcome you, they do not receive you, you wipe the dust off of your feet and you go find somewhere else to preach. And that's exactly what they did. They expelled them from the city. They shook off the dust and they left. But then the Bible says they were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. Even when everything was going wrong, they still had joy. Why? Because they still had the Holy Spirit. As long as they had the Holy Spirit, they had chara. That's the Greek word for joy. And that word chara, it means gladness, delight, and cheerfulness. You see, joy, according to Galatians chapter 5, is a fruit of the Spirit. Fruit, to me, represents evidence of the Spirit. Some people preach and teach, and I reject this completely, that speaking in tongues is the evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I reject that fully. I do not believe that at all. I do believe that it's only through the Holy Spirit that we can speak in tongues. So I'm not saying it's an evidence. I'm saying it's not the evidence. The evidence of the fruit of the Spirit, or the evidence of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, the filling of the Holy Spirit, is the fruit of the Spirit. If you are not loving, you don't have the Spirit of God. If you're not joyful, you don't have the Spirit of God. If you're not patient, peace. If you can't just be kind to people, I don't care how much you speak in tongues, you roll on the floor, you shout. All of those things can be faked, and all of those things can just be an outside expression to try to draw attention to yourself. But the evidence of the indwelling filling of the Holy Spirit is love and joy and peace. And so joy is one of the evidences of the fruit of the Spirit. When I look at somebody, and even when they're encountering opposition like Paul and Barnabas were, where people are stirring up things against them, maybe people are talking bad about you at work, maybe you got an unexpected bill, maybe you got a bad report from the doctor, maybe your child is being rebellious, or you're just going through a frustrating season in life, when there's joy, and when there, where there's the Holy Spirit, there will be joy. There will be calmness. There will be delight. There will be gladness inside of you, cheerfulness, because He brings the ability to have those things even when things aren't going well, just like what happened in the disciples' life. And so there's even when things aren't going good, there's reason for joy. Why? Why can we have joy when things are going bad? Because the Holy Spirit is God, and if God is inside of you, then why would you be worried about what's happening outside of you? Why would you fear what man can do to you? The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear Him. The Holy Spirit fills those who ask Him. Why would I be worried? I love that song, "Why Should I Feel Discouraged?" Right? Why would, in fact, that was a psalm. The psalmist asked himself, why are you disheartened? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God. Realize that He will be there with you and for you, and He'll give you the ability to go, you know what? It's not just a decision of like, well, I'm not going to worry about it. It'll all work out. It'll be okay. No, no, no. It's a true delight inside of the Lord, inside of you, to go, you know what? I have joy even though I'm being persecuted, even though I've been expelled, even though the word of God was advancing, but now they're kicking us out of the city. We're still filled with the Holy Spirit, and we're still filled with joy. So I want to encourage you to daily ask God, fill me with Your Holy Spirit. Fill me fresh and new every single morning. I empty myself of me. Don't forget that important part. I make room. I empty myself of the frustration I picked up. I empty myself of the pride. I empty myself of the hurt. I empty myself of the anxiety, and I just say, fill me with Your Holy Spirit. And if you do that, you'll have boldness, you'll have power, and you will have joy in your life, because those are three things that people in the Bible that were filled with the Holy Spirit experienced in their life. Amen. Stand to your feet with me tonight. Holy Spirit, I thank You that You're real. I thank You that You are with us. I thank You that You give us the ability to do, and You give us boldness. You grant us joy. And I just pray for the fruit of the Spirit to be evident in our life. I want to read those to you. In Galatians chapter 5, Paul says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering." Some translations say patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Listen to this. "Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." I love how it says, it's either the ESV, I think it's NLT, maybe it's ESV. It says, "If the Spirit has made you alive, then walk with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another or envying one another." God, I pray that over us right now, that we would not be envious or jealous of one another, but that we would cheer one another on in becoming more like You. God, I pray that You would fill us more and more. Help us to make room. God, identify the areas in our life that are taking up space that You would inhabit, that You would fill. God, the time that we're devoting to other things that we should be giving to You, the energy, the emotion, the finances, the overwhelming sense of I need to do this, but really it's not needful. What's needful is to say, God, fill me with your Holy Spirit, because I could try everything in the world and never accomplish that, but your Spirit will give me the ability to do what I could not do in my own strength if I tried and tried and tried. Father, I thank you that you give us the Spirit to lead and guide us. And Holy Spirit, I thank you that you come close beside to make the call. Fill us fresh and new. Let us not be Pentecostal in name only. Let us not be charismatic in preaching and in teaching and in doctrine and in dogma and belief system only, but truly let us live every single moment being led by the Spirit of God. Lead us into truth. Guide us into your will for our life. Fill us with boldness. Fill us with power. And fill us with joy. In Jesus' precious name, amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you, cause his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you, lift up his countenance upon you, may keep you in his peace, may he smile all over you, and may you be filled to capacity, crammed in with the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Love y'all.